Manisha?
Question on that?
Yes. Oh, and then I have a question for Jim. But yes, on CPP. Manager.
Go ahead. I have very very basic question. What is our fiscal fiscal year? Where does it start and where does it end? Is it January to December or is it different?
No, it's different. We go on October 1 to September 30. It's October to September.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. Or Paul.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes I have to hold on a second here because I have to type and then talk. All right. I would like you to very rapidly confirm something which some people have disputed. If an LSB has a, and I've had this before, but I want, this will go out where it's recorded and I can play this for people who dispute it. If an LSB has a an executive session, it has to give notice of that executive session ahead of time, right?
Yes.
Yes. It's in the bylaws, and I wanted to have, you know, somebody say that on the stream here. Thank you.
Yes. If a local station board or any Pacifica National Board Committee, for that matter, any local station board committee as well, because the CPB basically takes all of our committees and subcommittees as governing bodies of some kind, schedules an executive session. It is subject to the same notice requirements as any other meeting, which are 7 days to all of the members of the body, number one, and to all members of the organization and the public. It's acknowledged that not every member of the public necessarily wants a private email every time we schedule a meeting, although that's a service that they can request, but it needs to be publicly noticed in a place that is observable by the public. What we generally use for that purpose is kpfts.org. It can also be done and should be done on the station's individual websites when it's a local meeting.
Right, and carts for the LSB meetings and PNB meetings. It has to go in there too, right? It says so in
the bylaws. What's required? Yeah. The bylaws have a set of requirements that is somewhat in excess of the CPB open meeting requirements. And if the LSBs ever get around to the bylaws amendments, I'm not sure if that's going to happen, there is a bylaws amendment in there to make the bylaws more congruent with CPB open meeting requirements, so we don't trip ourselves with two sets of regulations that don't speak to each other. But the card that the station is required to play is a standard repeating notice card that says all of our meetings are noticed in such and such a way. If you'd like to be added to an email list to get specific meeting notices, this is how you do it. It's sort of a standard repeating card. And it needs to be played X number of times per quarter. And the archive of having played that needs to be saved and made available to CPB on request. That was the problem that happened in Washington, that we didn't have those records of having played the cart sufficiently. Each meeting doesn't need its own cart, but the standard notice cart needs to be played X number of times in a quarter documented.
Oh, because we've been struggling to make sure we get a cart in for each individual meeting. Maybe we could do a generic one?
Yes, and I do not in any way want to dispute anything the CPB compliance officer, Otis McClay, is telling you, but that is overkill for the CPB meeting requirements. He may have felt that it was important to go over and above for this period, which we're being supervised under or audited. So I'm not disputing what he's saying, but I'm saying that in the long run, that is not what the CPB open meeting requirement dictates.
Good. But the executive session still has to be noticed. Good. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. Is there anybody else on the staff? If not, I'm going to ask Jim a question. Okay. So one of the things that worries me about Houston on an ongoing basis is, of course, the state of the antenna and the transmitter. And I know there's a capital campaign in process. It's been in process for a long time. Could you update me on sort of how that's going and where that's at?
I guess all I can say is that it's still in the planning stages. There was some question about who would take the lead, and that was there was a question of whether a member of the KPFT community was going to be heading that, and because of his involvement with the Pacifica Foundation, there was some delay on getting him on board. It's my understanding that that's progressing. We've been a little bit short-staffed as far as pushing that forward, but we're planning, I believe it was in the fall, of getting that going.
Okay, I was just wondering. Okay. Are there any other questions regarding Houston? Okay. To the extent possible, I will try to ask the ED to brief the Finance Committee in writing on the current CTV situation, because I know that all of you will need to take that into account for your planning this year. And since it's somewhat in flux, I think it would be helpful to get an update on that. So I will ask that that be sent to the Finance Committee listserv as soon as they know something definite, because I know it's important info. But that's all I had to share at the moment. All right. I think the way the narrative goes is now we get to KPFK. So let's see. Okay. So in FY2013, KPFK surpassed its revenue projections by $237,000 and booked $3.65 million in revenues. Station booked expenses of $3.22 million or $487,000, more than budgeted, leaving an operating deficit for the fiscal year of $141,000. So, yeah, so more money on both counts. Shared services were paid at 100%. In the first quarter of FY2014, KPFK booked $1.17 in revenue, $1.17 million, which, you know, came in pretty much on target. The budgeted amount was $1.19, so, you know, pretty much the same. KPFK operating expenses totaled $913,000, which was $144,000 more than budgeted, which left a teensy-tiny surplus of $83,000, which is great. And KPFK is the only station in the network not to run an operating deficit the first quarter of 2014. So good for you guys. In terms of looking at it, what I basically had to say is that there do seem to be consistent overruns in the budgeted expenses vis-a-vis the actual expenses. So I think it might help KPFA to try to figure out what the expense control system is and to try to accurately project the expenses during the budgetary planning process. So I will leave that on the table. And Michael, any thoughts about you agree, don't agree, it's accurate, there's things you'd add?
No, I think that's accurate. The discussions we've had in the Finance Committee and with the previous general manager, and now I just met the other day with our interim general manager, Richard Kowalski. The fact is still the same as we identified last year. The last year's budget was substantially off because no cuts were made, although the budget anticipated a reduction in payroll expenses.
Right.
And we blew out the budget on the cost of the premiums that raised those several million dollars of, there was an effort made going into this fiscal year. The general manager original plan was to have some reductions, and then that was added to by the finance committee. But so far, there's only been one position that was suspended.
Yeah.
So the payroll is still over budget, and the October, particularly the October fund drive, less so the December one, we're still over budget on the cost of premiums. This current fund drive we're doing now, I think, is a much lower premium cost. So that's, I think that's been a major change. And I think the new interim general manager is going to have to look at staffing and try to figure out some way. The discussions we've had, as I say, are trying to figure out ways to increase off-air fundraising and development, and see what we can do. The local station board proposed that the general manager convene a process of strategic planning, really looking at the staffing levels, what's appropriate and what's sustainable, and how can we, raise the funds we need to have the kind of staffing that we need to keep the station going. So that's kind of where it stands at the moment. I think nobody is very sanguine about the fact that we're slightly in the black for the first 3 months, because we were anticipating having much more of a cushion going through other parts of the year when we'll have fewer fund drives. And so the fact that we did have a better income than we anticipated, but the fact the expenses are still too high really to sustain.
Good. Yeah. Well, that sounds about right. And like we both see the same thing, so that's great. Okay. So yes, John Crumcho, you're on the call. So anything to add, John? Are you there?
I'm sorry. Yes, I am.
Okay. This is your opportunity to add anything if you want.
Well, I think it's pretty much been said, and I am satisfied with everything that has been put forth.
Yeah. It's always nice when reality, strikes everybody the same way. Okay, so we'll go to questions and comments. Anybody want to be on the stack? Okay. All right, well, then I would just round it off to say that basically, yeah, the issues that come up at KPFK are kind of consistent, at least as long as I've been on the Finance Committee, and they do revolve around the cost of premiums and the inverse relationship between premiums and income, or premiums and fund drive revenue, and, and the staffing challenges. So I think that's usually how the KPFK conversations go, and it's right in that place. All right. So, Michael, you're continuing on, and I guess you'll keep the committee abreast of how KPFK sort of addresses these two challenges.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. All right, that brings us to KPFA, I think, in the order of the report.
Well, I really don't want to comment on your narrative very much, because there is, at the time that you made the statement in the national office and then prepared these notes, our data entry was seriously behind. It has yet recently been brought more up to date, and we expect to have it even more up to date very soon.
Barbara, maybe I should give the narrative before we do the comments on it?
Oh, well, you called on me, so.
Oh, yeah, well, I thought we were rounding out KPFK. Let me give the narrative, and then we'll go right to you. It'll just make more sense if we have anybody on the stream. All right. In FY 2013, KPFA booked $3.11 million in revenue, which is $266,000 short. The LSB management version of the KPFA budget, the thing that came to the NFC, had predicted $3.65 million, which would have been a much bigger shortfall. The operating expenses totaled $2.87 million, which was absolutely consistent with the budget, which was $2.86 million, leaving an operating deficit of $247,000. Shared services were paid at 100%. In the first quarter of 2014, KPFA at the time had reported revenues of $581,000 against budgeted projections of $874,000, which at the time was a shortfall of $292,000. My guess is that there was unbooked revenue impacting that number. Operating expenses were booked at $686,000 against budget projections of $771,000 and operational deficit of $214,000. There were also community events income from the FY 2013 fiscal year that didn't appear to be have been input into the system, as the total amount of revenue and ticket sales was only $22,000 with expenses of $28,000, and KPFA had anticipated over $70,000 from the 21 events in 2013, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. And there was no first quarter FY 2014 community events revenue from any of the events, although KPFA had 5 of them, with Edwidge Dantica, John Nichols and Robert McChesney, Bill Ayers, Nikki Giovanni, and Anne Lamott. So that's pretty much it. Barbara, you can go ahead and make whatever comments you were in the middle of.
Well, I don't have anything to add except that the data that you're speaking about was incomplete, and I know that you broadcast it widely, this information. So I'm just looking forward to when we have a real statement, and we'll put that out.
Do you have any status report about when KPFK will finish entering their FY 2013 data?
KPFK?
No, I'm asking you, do you have any...
You said KPFK.
I'm asking if you have any information about when KPFK will finish entering the FY 2013 data and the first quarter of FY 2014 at this point, because we're several months out.
It is being worked on. I'm not in a position to predict an exact date, especially since then, you know, I'll be quoted later and probably admonished for not being exact. Anyway, I am assisting in the business office, so I'm aware of the fact that a lot of work is being done, and we will soon be up to date.
Is it my phone? It's almost completely inaudible.
I'm sorry, what's completely inaudible, Michael?
I couldn't hear anything Barbara was saying whatsoever. I just heard you now.
Oh. I think the rest of us could hear, so it's probably just you.
Okay.
I don't know. Barbara, do you want to repeat what you said for Michael or not?
I guess I can check it.
I'll catch up with you later, Michael.
Okay, sure. Sorry.
Okay. Any comments, questions, follow-up?
Manager, can I ask a question? How is it? I don't know if it's that people do not enter their fund, you know, and their what they get, revenues and all the things by the end of the year. Is it common? There was some special.
well?
I will attempt to answer that, Manushe.
Sure, thank you.
First of all the records for all the cash that was taken in, the fund drive money, the money from events, is recorded. It's just that those pieces of paper were not in a timely way entered into the computerized system. So there's nothing missing about the records except the actual data entry. And I would like to draw attention to the fact that our business manager has twice the number of tasks as some of the others, in fact, maybe three times. And she has many other responsibilities, and these have actually impacted the ability to get the data entry up to date. But as I said, we're working on that.
Well, thank you very much. I didn't mean to imply anything. I didn't think that there was no paper, but I was wondering about data entry. I understand, and I think I understand it from BAI because we have very short of staff, and we are all constantly asking the general manager what is this missing, what is that not there, and all that. I understand your situation, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I will put myself on the stack. Who wanted to speak? It sounded like someone else wanted to speak. Who is it? Okay, maybe not. So nobody else wants to be on the stack? Okay. In response to Manager's question, no, it's not unusual. And in 4 years on the Finance Committee, no, I had never seen any other station by this time of the year not have all of their data in for both the year-end and the first quarter. I appreciate what Barbara's saying. It does bear repeating that, three of the stations don't have full-time business managers, and yet they got their data in. And to have paper tallies from events from 6 or 9 months ago really, should never happen. So I hope it will all get corrected as quickly as possible. I haven't seen any updated financial statements, so I don't know that that's happened yet, but I think it certainly needs to happen, ASAP, and hopefully it will. Anything else on KPFA? All right, I guess that takes us to Washington, where we don't have an LSB treasurer, so Tony, you will have to pinch it as best you can.
And this is in terms of the quarterly reports?
Yeah. I'll sort of give the overview, and then we'll just take whatever comments you would like to make. And thank you for, picking up the slack, since Marcus isn't here. Okay, so WPSW booked revenues of $1.45 million in FY2013, which was a $336,000 shortfall from the budgeted projection of $1.79 million. Operational expenses were $1.54 million, which was $45,000 more than the budget. Not an extreme difference. Shared services were not remitted and totaled zero for FY2013. And the FY2013 operating deficit was $310,000. In the first quarter of FY2014, WPFW booked revenues of $342,000 against the budgeted amount of $448,000. So they came up about $100,000 short. And booked expenses of $320,000. For an operating deficit of $38,000 for the first quarter, which again is October, November, December. Essentially, the issue at WPFW is not expense overruns, it's simply missing the revenue projection by fairly significant amounts, both in FY2013 and in the first quarter of FY2014. And as we can see, we've had some of that recurring with the current fund drive. So that's essentially what the issue is, and I think everyone would agree that it's not a question of cutting, it's a question of boosting the revenue back to 1.7 million where it kind of needs to be. And that's all I would say about PFW. So, Tony, if you want to...
Well, there's not much I can add to that. Except to say, one question I was going to ask, if we get a copy of that CPP report, the recent one. But there's not more I can add to the information that you've just provided.
Yeah, I mean, I think in all fairness to WPFW, I think everybody understands that FY2013 was a difficult year, and it took a toll on everyone, including the revenue projections. But I think the station has got to the point where, you know, it has to go up a bit, and let's find a way to do that. Okay, are there any questions or comments about PFW? Everybody still awake?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. All right, well, this is good. It looks like people are pretty much in agreement about what we're looking at in most cases, and that's always good to see. All right, that brings us to WBAI, the hero of the Chekhovian story, I guess. Okay, so I'll go ahead and do the summary, and then our Paul can manage it. You can add whatever you'd like. WBAI booked revenues of $2.76 million in FY2013, which was a big shortfall from the budget of $3.64 million. The station booked expenses of $3.2 million, which was in excess of the budget, which was $3 million, by about $138,000. The operating deficit was $667,000. Shared services were not remitted and total zero for FY2013. In the first quarter of FY2014, WBAI booked $826,000 in revenues, which surpassed the budgetary projection of $654,000. Expenses totaled $703,000, which was $198,000 more than the projected budgetary expenses. So we ended up with an operating deficit of $37,000. WBAI did correct in late FY2013 that built-in structural deficit of $500,000 per year that had been going on for the better part of a decade, and added up to about $3 million in organizational debt. In the first quarter of FY2014, WBAI did raise much more revenue than expected, but there was a certain amount of churning high-value premiums to do so, which created expenses that weren't planned for, which is, of course, something that also comes up sometimes at our LA station. So I think that's about all that's in there. So, our Paul, I will leave it to you to comment.
Okay. Yes, we ran an operating deficit that looks awful for FY13. And I will note that for most of FY13, BAI was pretty much homeless or just barely getting into the new place. We're still operating out of a studio that's many miles away from the offices, and it's very difficult because we're operating out of the studios, the spare studio, the abandoned, obsolete studio of a 10-watt college station, and it's not quite adequate for a 50,000-watt station like BAI that has 24/7 operation and doesn't just, you know, put on a DVD of songs for many hours at a time to walk away from it. So, yes, FY13 was really something. The Sandy stuff was a killer. One of the things for FY14 is, and also for part of FY13, is we have a big overhanging debt. That is the severance pay for the many people who were cut. When we talk about our structural deficit, we're referring to the paid staff. And since 75% of the paid staff are gone now, we're operating on less than a skeleton crew. The payroll is much less. However, our health benefits are not much less. And the reason for that is that since the executive director worked out a deal with AFTRA, the union SAG-AFTRA, the union at BAI for the paid staff, they have a deal whereby in order to not have to pay the severance until mid-March, which is approaching rapidly, WBAI will keep everybody on the health plan. So WBAI is paying basically its full health plan that it was paying back in July. And this has resulted in, you know, rather a bit of money going out. In fact, if Pacifica had paid off the approximately $235,000 that the severance pay amounts to back in August, WBAI would have amortized that over time and would be, you know, basically breaking even or getting better by now in terms of having to pay the extra health premiums. So, you know, there was a decision made, and yeah, the lump sum wasn't there, but we're sort of paying for that, and a lump sum is coming up in like 3 weeks. So there is that. The health expenses are a problem. In the good news department, the BAI buddy appears to be generating about $16,000 per month, which is good because that gives us a steady income of about $16,000 that we can count on, as opposed to the up and down and, you know, it's here a little bit today and gone for 2 weeks money from the on-air fundraisers. Okay. Just as I started here, I spilled a lot of papers, so I would have had more to say, but mercifully I spilled papers and I can't reorganize those at this moment. So, we have not done central services. We have not done shared expenses. However, BAI is being asked to give in money here and there on various things, and it's not being counted as central services. And of course, we're doing bill backs. But above that, the general manager says we are helping Pacifica here and there on things. And so it's not central services, but it's something or other helping to fill in the gaps which are happening all over Pacifica at this time. Another thing that's happening is that the general manager is very adamant about in terms of it's going to help BAI with its keeping track of money and all. One second. Pardon me. Is that he has gotten a donation of some software called QuickBook. And this is going to allow him to enter everything into that and be able to generate the spreadsheets he needs, be able to send CSV files to the national office and give them a very fast accounting of things so that the money will be much more trackable than it has in the past. And he's very upbeat about this and thinks this is going to help us a whole lot because, again, BAI doesn't have a dedicated business manager, and he has to do a lot of it. In terms of FY14, we are seeing that when we do the premium-based thing, it is working. It works still as it sort of has in the past. I reported already that the first 2 weeks of our thon went in a tank, but the premium-based stuff seems to work. Of course, as I've said before, the real issue for BAI is we have not had a program director for a real program director for about 15 years. And this is going to have an effect on a radio station. Some people have said, you know, one interim program director had set about trying to set up training for on-air staff, which would have been good, but he left. The next one said he was going to start that too, but he went. So, you know, we have had people come in and say, oh, the staff needs training, and that will help a lot, and but they haven't been able to implement the training. So, again, my premise is the real problem is the lack of a program director for so very long and no training for the staff. BAI has a really good potential to get things going better now. As I said before, we've caught up on premiums greatly. People are doing tremendous amounts of work, getting out literally thousands upon thousands of premiums. And if BAI can just go a little farther here and get ahead of things, we will actually start becoming self-sufficient at some point in time soon. And I think we can sort of put the serious problems we've had over the past few years in back of us. Because, again, the expenses are much, much less now. And I guess that's what I have to say.
Thank you very much. You're a wealth of information, as always. Manajay, do you have anything to add? Manajay? Are you there?
Yes, I was muted. I think one of our major problems right now is shortness of staff. As Arpal was saying, it is pretty evident that in our program, I'm sorry, there is lots of echo. When our programs do not produce any finances, any support, the major part is we have programs that whose producers and, you know, the people who are on the air have not been trained for the air, and maybe it has been over a long time, and these people don't have energy or they haven't updated themselves, so they need really a lot of support that they have not been getting. And now that we have on skeletal, basically about four people working there, paid staff, and the rest of the work is done by volunteers or overworked manager and everybody else who's there, the training that is absolutely necessary and support that the programmers need, it's not there. And we have to do as much as we can. And I think the on-air fundraiser, we should not rely on on-air fundraisers so much because it damages our program, you know, our reputation and interferes with our fulfillment of our mission, and we lose listeners. Actually, something that none of us talked about in this report is about if any of these fundraisings have been increasing our listenership. And that's what we need, and that's what our programming is supposed to do, to bring listeners to our stations. And we need to do in our sustainability plan that we are going to work on, we have to make sure that we have processes that helps to increase our staff and also especially our training and retraining and support for our on-air staff. Thanks.
Could I add one thing?
Huh?
Okay. I will. Yeah, one of the things spilled on the floor is we are doing more off-air fundraising. There's been a Peter Yarrow concert, there have been some other things, and the management is running in the building that BAI is in a comedy night on Monday nights, and they're sort of building up an audience for that, and it is hoped that that thing's going to start generating significant income at some point, and it is also possible that you will get some star coming out of this comedy night thing, and that could be very helpful as well. There are a number of other off-air fundraisers going on, and there's an art auction thing coming up that did well last year, and they anticipate it doing quite well this year. So there's also the off-air stuff that's going on that we had not really been able to do through much of FY13, and that stuff's happening too. So I just wanted to add that.
Okay. Thanks, R. Paul. So we'll take comments, questions. It's the last station, folks. Hang in there. We'll do the other two parts sort of right away, all together. Okay, so I'll make up. Does anybody want to be on the staff? No. Everyone is unconscious. Okay.
I have that effect.
Yeah. So, to respond to a couple of things that you said, R. Paul, the first is... yeah, on the health benefits scenario for WBA, I would agree with you. It was, of course, a short-term problem-solving solution to something kind of difficult. Nobody wanted to end up in court with AFTRA. Nobody still does. And so it was a way to buy a little time to deal with the obligation. But I agree with you that if you had other choices, you would have made other choices. carrying the health benefits has been expensive, and it has taken a toll on BAI's, you know, route back to sustainability. Second thing is I'm really happy to hear about QuickBooks, and yes, that will help their toll a great deal. It's too, it's too vulnerable an accounting system to be sort of the national office type of accounting system, because QuickBooks is very doesn't have a lot of checks and balances, let's put it that way. But for the purposes of quickly accumulating financial data, it's really quick and light and easy to use. And if you have a situation where your GM has to do a lot of the financial record keeping himself, which is the case, I think, it should be a big help. And the last thing was just what you and Manajay both said about the PDs. And I would have to agree, and it's, you know, it's the whole question of management instability that has been a frame, you know, it's been kind of a hallmark of the network since 2003, and there's all kinds of ways that it hasn't paid off. And this is one of them. Is there anybody else who wants to comment? Okay. All right. So I think what we'll do, just to get to closure on this meeting, is I'll just do for the stream the narrative parts about the archives and the national office. If people want to talk about them, they can do so. If you don't want to, then we'll just leave it there. And then I think the only other part of business that we would have is whether or not we want to set another meeting, which I'm inclined to think for notice requirements we probably should do, although many of us will not be on it. And if we can take care of those last two things, I think we're all set.
Barbara, was a comment.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I have to leave the meeting now and catch you all the next time.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
All right.
Hey, I also, Tracy, I also must leave the meeting at this point. John?
All right. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay. So, let's get finished up here. Okay. So, just for informational purposes, the Pacifica Archives booked revenues of $537,000 in FY2013 and operational expenses of $576,000. The Archives surpassed their budget projection for self-generated revenue, which is the money that they raised themselves, and raised $362,000, which is $47,000 more than was budgeted.
Shared services were accrued for $250,000, of which $161,000 was paid. In the first quarter of FY 2014, the archives booked $194,000 in revenue, which was less than they hoped to raise. The self-generated revenue was $164,000, which was $89,000 less than they projected. Shared services were accrued in the amount of $72,000, of which $28,000 was paid to the archives. And their operational expenses were $173,000. There isn't really a whole lot to say about this, except that the archives struggles a bit due to delinquent shared services contributions. The revenue goals were surpassed in FY 2013. They made up some of it by raising more money themselves, but were not able to do that in the first quarter of 2014. Any questions or comments about that? Okay, so we'll move on to the National Office. Pacifica National, the National Office booked $1.722 million in revenues in FY 2013, which was just a bit less than the budgeted revenue projection, which was $1.8 million. Their self-generated income was $642,000, which exceeded their budgeted projections of $610,000. So they raised about $30,000 more than they had projected. Shared services were accrued at $1.44 million, and of that, $1.07 million was paid, and $364,000 wasn't paid. The network expenses were $2.53 million, which exceeded the budget, which was $2.28 million, by about $250,000. The expense overruns were in legal expenses and consultant staff. The network expense items, which are primarily Democracy Now! Program fees, the annual audit, the AudioPork satellite, and the directors and officers' liability insurance totals $1.05 million, which consumed all of the shared services that were paid, which was $1.07 million. Democracy Now! Received 60% of all the shared services payments that were actually remitted for the 2013 fiscal year. In the first quarter of FY 2014, the National Office booked $323,000 in revenues. Self-generated income totaled $216,000, which was a little bit more than expected, but not that much. Network expenses were $410,000, which was less than projected, and that's largely because DN was not paid in full. Shared services were accrued in the amount of $491,000, of which $245,000 was paid. And as I said, the shared network expenses for the audit, for the satellite and directors and officers, liability insurance were paid. Democracy Now! Program fees were not paid. But they will have to be. So I think that's pretty much it for the National Office part. Again, are there questions, comments?
Manisha?
Yes, go ahead, Manisha.
Yes, what do you mean, what does it mean with his self-generated income? Where does that come from? Do they fundraise or have grants?
Self-generated income? Yeah. It comes from a couple of different sources. One is the affiliates program, paying programming fees to access AudioPort. The second is the SCA, the sidebands income, which comes to the license holder. And the third part is occasional development campaigns and direct mail that they do directly out of the National Office. Those are the three categories.
Can I? And the sideband, is the sideband what it comes from different stations to the National Office?
Yeah, the sidebands are leases that are signed with other parties in order to use broadcasting space that we own but are not utilizing. And those sidebands are rented, basically, to other broadcasters. And by law, that income, you know, goes to the license holder, to the entity who owns the license, to broadcast it in that space. So that income is generated out of the licenses that Pacifica holds and comes to the license holder. There's been some discussion of Pacifica rebating that money back to the station, but if, and perhaps they will at some point, but they've not done that at the moment. The SCA income is likely to fall over time, but at the moment it's about $300,000 a year.
Okay. So let me ask you, so you actually answered my follow-up question about that, that you said that there is a discussion about returning, you know, giving that rent to back to the stations. So first of all, do you know, if you have any idea, what it has not been systematically sent back? Because the central service charges of is 17.5 and or 19.5 or something like that, that is supposed to come to the national office. And the sideband, I don't know how, what proportion of the, you know, how much it is for each of the station. But for example, if WBAI, who has not been able to pay the national services, for example, this past year, and I'm really, I am really unhappy about the fact that BAI has not been able to fulfill its responsibility. But if we consider the sideband that has been going to the national, could that be discussed in a way or talked about in a way that that has to be at least allocated to BAI and be deducted from what we owe? Because, you know, it's demoralizing. To me, it is demoralizing for, you know, for a station to know that they're always behind. But this could help, because there is, has not the intention of not to pay it, as everybody knows. We all have shortfalls. So do you know where this discussion is? Thank you so much, Tracy, for responding to it.
Sure. Okay. So firstly, there is a question of scale. The accrued shared network fees for the year last year were $1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Sidebands were $300,000. So network services is a lot bigger than just the SCA. So it's a fairly small amount, and the amount that, you know, would be involved for one of the stations would be, you know, $50,000, $70,000. $100,000. It doesn't cover all the shared services in any way, shape, or form.
Of course.
The issue there would simply be what size of a national office does the network want to maintain? Because essentially, the income that the national office raises by itself through the affiliate program and the SCA program is essentially what pays the national office salary at this point in time. You know, to maintain that office.
Sure.
It's about the same. There's about like $600,000 to $700,000 that comes in, and the payroll there is about $600,000 to $700,000. It's about the same size as WBAI's payroll now. You know, it's pretty skeleton. But that's essentially what pays for it. And then the network shared services are supposed to pay for Democracy Now! And the audit and the satellite and the directors and officers, liability insurance and the board meetings and various other things. So at this point in time, you would sort of have to replace that income if you took it away, because you wouldn't have enough. If we get to the point that WBAI and WPFW are paying full shared services, then I think it might be doable. But at this point in time, because the shared services aren't covering anything other than the obligations, I don't see how you could pull that income out without basically losing 2 to 3 to 4 staff members at the national office, which at this point only has like 6 or 7 of them. So that's what I would say about the practicality of it at this point in time.
Uh-huh.
But I think if we can renegotiate certain contracts, and if we can get to the point that all 5 stations are contributing to shared services, then it might well make sense. But it might be a little cart before the horse right now.
Okay, thank you very much. No, I really need to understand what's happening, because it's very hard for average listener member to understand these things, because many times there are not enough or clarity in of information.
I know. And we have a really complicated structure sometimes with all the intermixing of things.
I want everybody to take their time and ask basic questions. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, manager, for asking.
Tracy, this is Jim.
Yeah, Jim, go ahead.
There was a lot of use of contractors last year. Are there full-time employees now instead of the contractors?
Yes, that was way too flipping high, and it was in the area of accounting, and it was an awkward transition, and it cost us. And what I would say is that, yes, that consultant use was entirely gone by the middle of FY 2013, and it did not recur in the first quarter of FY 2014, so it's over. But yes, that was something that we felt in the first quarter of FY 2013, and wasn't planned for, wasn't budgeted, and it threw things out of whack.
Sure. Okay, good.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like there's no more questions, comments. Okay. So I think the only thing before we adjourn is just the question of, do we want to go ahead and schedule a finance committee meeting for the usual second Tuesday of the month for the new finance committee? Or do we want to leave it to the new committee to convene itself? I'm inclined to think it's probably a good thing to notice another meeting.
I second your suggestion.
Whatever you guys want to do. Okay.
I think it's important to do it now and then have for the new person before they become unsettled, we have the continuity. Thank you.
I mean, Finance Committee has been meeting on Tuesdays for years now.
Yeah, sure. You should keep it.
So I think it's probably reasonably well-established. Does anybody object to noticing a meeting for, I don't know what it is.
March 11th.
The second Tuesday in March, yeah.
Tracy, I think Art Paul had the suggestion of if there was any need to have an executive session to approve these if we don't need to discuss them.
Oh, you're right. I forgot. We went on so long that I was trying to get out of here. Okay, yeah, let's do that. Okay, so I'm hearing no objections to noticing a meeting for March 11th, so that's what we're going to do, correct? Okay.
Right.
Okay, so Art Paul, if you can pull out the minutes, we have one set of open session minutes from whenever we last met in January, and we will see if we can do the close.
Okay, it's the minutes, the draft minutes of January 14th, 2014, and they were posted on, what was it, Sunday, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
So they're up there, and I'll make a motion that we approve those. So I move that we approve the January 14th minutes.
Are there any objections to that motion?
Okay.
All right. Does anyone have a need to abstain? Done. Okay, so those are approved. And that will bring us to the closed session minutes. And I assume, Art Paul, you sent them out, yes?
Yeah, I sent those out a bit ago. Okay. And let me get down to where they are.
Let me go look for them. What's the exact date on them?
Say again?
What's the date on them?
The date is February 19th, 2013.
That's the last executive session that we had. Holy moly. Okay. Well, good. I'm proud of us. I thought we were doing too much in executive sessions, to be honest, and it's nice to know that it can be done. Okay. So
Is there a motion to approve these minutes unchanged, which is, I think, the only motion we can entertain with regard to these minutes?
I do. I move that we approve these minutes.
And since we can't modify them, if you genuinely have any sort of objection, say so. Because we shouldn't approve bad minutes just because we're tired. Okay, well, hearing no objections, those minutes are approved.
Yay.
So, our Paul, if you could go ahead and file
yep.
both.
Yep.
All right, then I think we are all set. The committee will meet again on the 11th. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good night. Bye.
All right, thank you all. Good night.
Bye-bye.